This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Thursday, 19th of August, 2021. A very interesting session developing late yesterday. It would appear from the headlines that this developed in the immediate aftermath of those FOMC minutes. I think you could argue, though, if you looked at how the market was parsing through those minutes and the market action just afterwards, there wasn't a whole lot going on. It seemed to be the selling really picked up heavily into the market close. Could have been a delayed decision making. There was this rather hawkish message if you interpret it certain ways. We'll talk about that in a moment. But for now, let's just pick up the technicals here. But actually, before we do that, let's highlight your webinar up later today. Ola, it's actually quite interesting because the hell lot's going on in commodities right now. We have a pretty significant adjustment lower, and this actually picked up pace a bit yesterday. So what, I guess that's your focus in today's webinar.
Absolutely, John. And yeah, the last monthly one we did was back in June, and a lot of things have happened since then. So the commodity rally has to a certain extent unraveled, and we're going to take a look at why that is, and also obviously ask the question, is the super cycle over for now? So tune in. You can sign up on webinars.saxo, and it will kick off at 12 o'clock European Central European time.
All right. Let's see. Let's go for S&P index and the technicals there. That's the one we've been covering the most in the previous podcast. And you can see here, I've highlighted, we've talked about the 21-day moving average. We've seen how that price action often gets a bit dodgy as we go below that. That's the green moving average you can see on slide three. That has happened again. So we've sliced through that. And in the previous couple of occasions, we've really ramped immediately back higher, sort of the buy the dip mentality. But you can see even below that, the 55-day, very important. We've tested it on six occasions this year. We haven't closed below that twice since one brief episode just before the 2020 election. So back in October of last year, or it might have been early November, actually. And then before that, since basically the pandemic aftermath. So really key levels coming up here. You would think the market might have been trained to a degree to a buy the dip mentality, but we have to wait and see. I think there's a couple of ominous bits here, depending on how, to what degree this is bound up in what the Fed is planning to do with this taper. We'll talk about in a minute with you, Althea. But I think it's interesting to see this, the equity theme baskets, because we've seen a number of these, something like actually Tesla stock itself, for example, had a very strong day yesterday in an overall down market. If you look at a lot of our baskets, a lot of them are the more speculative nature, green transformation, crypto and blockchain, even though crypto has had a pretty bad day, at least since late yesterday. Travel, et cetera, those actually were positive. So I wonder if there's some kind of a relative a play going on here to some degree in this market as well, even though the headline market itself was down quite heavily on the day yesterday. We'll get a follow-up on that tomorrow with Peter. But I'll tell you, let's go over to these FOMC minutes. And if we look at what was pulled out of them, it's pretty clear there's this a quote pull that most participants are essentially think that the timing would be right this year. Of course, what does that mean? Does that mean they announced it in September, started in October, or not until the, one of the subsequent meetings? Hard to know. But two things I would pull out before I throw it over to you. And that is, and what we were talking about on our internal meeting is there seems to be a sense from some of the wording elsewhere as well, that the Fed really just wants to not only start the taper, but taper down to zero pretty quickly. One of the side effects of what the Fed has been doing is this massive rise in the reverse repo account with the Fed. I've got that insert here on slide four, as well as those quote pulls. We're up to $1.1 trillion after yesterday. As well, I think a valid point from the Fed's Rosengreen that's their approach with QE and demand stimulus is not working when the problem is the supply side in this economy. But what is your spin on this, these FOMC minutes, and what do you think is, what's your takeaway?
Well, I think, John, that the big problem here is that the Federal Reserve is buying $120 billion a month worth of bonds and mortgage-backed securities, which is the amount that they increased as the Treasury had to increase issuance of U.S. Treasuries. amid the pandemic. And now we are as far away from that time, and the Fed is still purchasing the same amount of U.S. treasuries and mortgage-backed securities. And what it's basically doing is draining up liquidity in the market. And this is what we see with the reverse repo facility that just yesterday hit a new record high. So just going into the bond market, I think that yesterday, John, it was very telling the fact that when the FOMC minutes were released, that the bond market reaction was basically muted. And before the minutes were released, that we had a very strong 20-year option that sold the highest demand of foreign investors since October last year. Why is it happening? Well, it's happening because, as we just said, that there is too much cash chasing too few assets on one side. But also, if you look at U.S. treasuries and you compare them with peers abroad, you will see that they still offer quite an appealing yield. And if you take euro-hedged 10-year U.S. treasuries, they paid 0.52%, which is basically 100 basis points over the German Bunds.
That's a very large premium in terms of yield. And do you have some thoughts on these inflation linkers? We've talked a lot about recently the degree to which the market is pricing in these negative real rates of really the lowest of the cycle. So what's your take here on how people are positioning in terms of inflation protection?
Well, I had a lot of clients asking about whether it's worthwhile to buy right now into inflation linkers, because the yield that they offer is deeply negative, and not only in the US, but also in the United Kingdom and in Europe in general. And the thing is that we are now living in a rising interest rates environment. So it means that if you buy into inflation linkers right now, and you hold them for 1 or 2 years, you might incur in a capital loss if you don't hold these securities until maturity. So I invite you to go on analysis.saxo, and what you will find there, it's the same table that you see on slide number 6. Basically, what I've done is that I've taken 5 and 10 years inflation linkers from the US, UK, Germany, and Italy. And I tried to calculate what's the break-even inflation that we need to have in order for them to break even. And what it comes out of that is that inflation-linked gilts are the worst linkers you might hold at the moment, because you would need to have inflation well above 3% for 5 to 10 years in order to break even.
Wow, that's really pricing in a lot of inflation. So people are really having to pay a premium for that in this market. And by the way, I'm not sure if we mentioned it, but you had some technical levels as well on slide 5 for the 10-year yields in the U.S. in the wake of the FOMC minutes. Ola, let's jump over to you before I talk about FX, where we've just pretty much seen a dollar rising to the top of the charts on this move post FOMC. I don't know if we can identify what, but you know, this looks like the commodity complex is saying we've got some kind of forward concerns on growth here. Is there any, and there's been a bit of new energy into this trade, I guess, overnight.
There has indeed. And I would say probably at this point in time, it's probably the more short-term concerns that's weighing on the price, because we got the growth worries in China, we got the virus still spreading, and we've got the dollar strength that you will talk about in a sec. So we're seeing a breakout to the downside on some of these key cyclical commodities, and with Tiers just talking about the inflation protection, this is obviously in the short-term reflationary, and we'll see how far it can take us. But I put in a crude oil chart. We did as well yesterday, and copper as well, and both for, what goes for both is that they have broken down since yesterday. The WTI chart we see here is now basically running down towards the potential running down towards that 60 level, which is also the 200-day moving average, a level we haven't tested for quite a while. The thing with oil, as we know, it's very much political determined where the price is going. So what we could potentially prepare ourselves for now over the coming days is some kind of verbal intervention from from OPEC, or potentially even that they're slowing down the agreed production hikes that has been put in place for the remainder of the year. So I'll be struggling to see this market fall out of bed. But in the short term, there is clearly some tactical short selling coming into the market. Yesterday's report from the EIA, not really a bit of a mixed bag, rising crude stocks before and now also falling crude stocks, but rising gasoline stocks, which is market is a little bit worried about, because we may see a slowdown in gasoline demand from motorists over the coming period. And the couple which we mentioned yesterday, we had this we had two major trend lines just basically meeting up around that 420 level, which has been the bottom of the recent range. We broke that yesterday, and we are now heading for the 200-day moving average down towards the $4 level. I think this is very much, I'll say, short-term tactical trading that's coming into play, because the market seems to have forgotten that we may have supply risk in Chile with strike action there. And we also have the longer-term green transformation theme, which has not suddenly died a sudden death. That will continue to apply the increased demand, strong demand over the coming years. So we're running through a phase here, and we are, I'll say, with that in mind, we are all watching what's going to happen to the dollar.
Yeah, and on that front, clearly the dollar doing its thing with this general risk off we saw since late yesterday. And I would say, very interestingly, we saw very little yield adjustments out the curve, as Altea indicated, on the back of these FOMC minutes. The market tried to gin up a reaction in terms of Fed expectations of a couple of basis points this way or that. And you could argue Fed expectations are now maybe 2 basis points higher from mid-2023, but there was no notable move. It's all about taper adjustments, I guess, for the dollar. Back to where we are in FX, very much getting a boost from this general sense of risk off. And we've seen, for example, Aussie dollar, which I put up on slide 7, it's also just, it's across the board. It's the commodities, the risk sentiment, the China concerns, et cetera, all being found here in this chart of Aussie dollar, which has really had a bad week of it. Look at that weekly bar you can see on slide 7. We broke below the 73, which was a local low after, you know, finding resistance consistently at that 74 area, which was the prior key pivot break on the way down. We're testing below the 200-week moving average. I don't think that's a major stopping point. Obviously, it hasn't been so far. I think the next one is this 0.70 round figure. You can see I put a line there how important this level has been. It was massive in late 2020 and early 2021 as a support area and was a resistance area on the way up, both prior and post the pandemic outbreak. So watching that closely, in addition to Ola space there. And I would just add to that, their number one export is iron ore. And iron ore has suffered a 30% drawdown in Chinese futures contracts that I track anyway from its mid-July level. So that's just a huge drawdown in that price, which is, of course, as I mentioned, Australia's number one export commodity. And then Eurodollar, the big Eurodollar, the one everyone focuses on, breaking that 117 level overnight in late trading. Again, around the FOMC minutes, there wasn't much going on. It was back and forth, 20, 30 pips, a bit more than that, perhaps. And then breaking down in sympathy with this move in late trading in the U.S. Equity market. And that sets up, of course, that is the key pivot level. Now, next targets, though, there's that 116 area lows. Those are from late 2020, and there's a big 115 psychological level. And if you're really starting to get more aggressive here, I would suspect this would need a really comprehensive and significant consolidation in risk appetite. It would be something like 112.90 or the 113 area, which is the 61.8% retracement. You can also see the latest trend readings on the FX board that we put up on slide 8, as well as that Eurodollar chart I just mentioned. And we're getting some pretty hefty trend readings, something like -5 almost on Aussie. It doesn't mean we're about to turn around, but we're getting about as strong as you can get on some of these trends by historical measurements anyway. All right, and then if we jump down to earnings, don't have much of a slide for you today. Slide 11, you just see the latest earnings reports out for today. We have Applied Materials will be one I'm personally interested in, because this is the semiconductor manufacturing equipment that goes to make the actual semiconductors. What's the forward demand there, especially given, for example, Intel's desire to shift a lot of its production back to the U.S.? Could there be some sort of sympathetic guidance there? That'll be an interesting one to watch. And then actually, I just briefly wanted to mention on Australia as well, an employment figure came out overnight, and it was very positive relative to expectations. We had some crazily strong numbers in May and June. The market was expecting a bit of a decline, a pretty strong decline in July, and got instead a slightly positive number on the month, a huge drop in the unemployment rate to 5.4%, by far the lowest since 2008. So well below the pandemic lows. Of course, there are people that are sort of semi-artificially in work. We have now how about these lockdowns? It just goes to show you that when other things are afoot, positive data becomes relatively meaningless. And we also saw that weak wage data for Q2. So just not the market not really picking up on this as a positive for the Aussie for the moment. All right, let's look at today's macro calendar. Slide 12, we have the Norges Bank today. Interesting to see that the guidance maintained for a September rate hike, which is expected. Any nuances? I think it'd be too early for them to pull back that commitment. But any nuances in the Governor Olsen's speech today could be interesting. Obviously, the Norwegian krona under pressure, together with everything oil-related and then risk-related at the moment. A couple of smaller but interesting U.S. data points out later today. And we have a Chinese rate announcement overnight. There's no change expected there. The big news out of China overnight was what some were calling a very delayed bailout of Huarong, some $15 billion. Follow up on that story if you're interested. It's very interesting for signals that China doesn't want to allow these systemically risky situations to, of course, to spiral out of control, but it's we're sort of reluctantly moving to a bailout of something like this. And the next big question mark is that Evergrande, the other huge property developer. And then closing out the week, a couple of small bits and pieces overnight and tomorrow. Jackson Hole. So the next thing, key thing here is, of course, risk off the levels we mentioned. Are we going to buy the dip again, or is this set up for a more significant consolidation? We are quite concerned. We had that momentum divergence set up in the NASDAQ we mentioned. We had the S&P challenge below the first support levels. Does this cascade, or is it picked up once again? That is the biggest question at the moment. And then in terms of the Fed guidance on tapering timing and pace, we'll be looking towards the Jackson Hole conference late next week as the next step, and any indication on whether that September 22nd FOMC meeting is live for a taper announcement. I guess the earliest possible date for a start could be something like October 1st, but we'll have to see how that develops. For now, it's a wrap, and we'll be back tomorrow, of course, with the Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter @SaxoMarketCall or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.